Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Education bills are moving on and sometimes getting tossed away in the State House. House Bill 1073 was recently tabled. It's a bill that looks at free speech on South Dakota college campuses, but its companion bill, Senate Bill 198, is scheduled for attention at the Senate Education Committee. Chuck Baldwin is journalist in residence at the University of South Dakota. He's with me here in the SDPB studios in Vermilion now. Welcome. Thanks for stopping by.
Thank you for having me.
Thanks for walking down the hall.
Yeah, it was so far.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to talk about the Senate bill as it is written, and also about this broader conversation about freedom of speech on college campuses, because if you just Google that, you get a whole lot of opinions popping up. It seems like a no-brainer. Free speech. We all like that. But there's more to it than that. How come it's such a hot button topic right now?
There's quite a bit more to it than that. We discussed this a little bit in my media law and ethics class this morning, and we'll discuss more as we go along. If you look at what's happened at college campuses across the country, particularly as they relate to conservative speakers, you're seeing student protests, you're seeing faculty protests, you're seeing in some cases speakers banned or shunted aside to smaller areas. Violence protests are a part of this. I think those on the conservative side of the aisle believe also it's a matter of censorship. So it's an issue across the country.
What does, as this bill is written, and I'm sure you've read through it, what are some of the things that it would do to sort of address what lawmakers perceive is the problem?
The main thing it would do is provide the specific way for people who feel their free speech rights have been denied, the specific way that they could sue the university or the state. In terms of other things, it gives the university the right to make determinations of time, place, and manner outdoors, which we already have. That's been instituted by the Supreme Court many years ago. It also would create a new bureaucracy, because universities would be required not only to post and provide the legislature with their policies, and certainly those policies should be posted for everybody to see, to be perfectly open and transparent, but it would require the university to catalog specific issues that happen on campus, perhaps even in classrooms, where somebody might feel their free speech has been denied.
I'm going to read a little bit from the bill, and one of them, it says, is talking about this report. Each public institution of higher education shall publicly post on the institution's website, as well as submit to the governor, to the members of the Senate and House standing committees on education, and to the members of the joint committees on appropriations, report the details, the actions implemented to comply with the requirements of the act. And then it goes on to list four different areas where you are required to describe any barriers, any student attempts to block or prohibit any speakers, and all descriptions of actions the institution is taking to promote and ensure intellectual diversity and the free exchange of ideas. And that one seems particularly good. It goes right into the classroom, where on an hourly basis you would be promoting free and intellectual diversity and free exchange of ideas in a journalism class, for example.
Every day in every class, and the way that is written, if one student stands up and objects to what another student says, that would go in the report to the legislature and the Appropriations Committee. I mean, really, what does this have to do? It's a scary thought that this could affect appropriations.
What's the chilling effect, too, between, because any of us who have been, you know, in college, lots of ideas get slammed. I mean, that's part of the university experience, is that there's someone in your class who doesn't agree with you, and you sort of are learning at that age how to disagree with each other and how to listen to each other's opinions.
Well, you should be. And if you look at the broad context of this, if you look at the stated goals of this legislation, it's to provide a marketplace of ideas, which is a good thing. We shouldn't be banning speakers or censoring speakers or activities simply because we disagree with the message, whatever that message might be. We ought to have that kind of discussion, because through those discussions, we come up with decisions. That's why we have debates in Congress. It's the same thing.
Hmm. What is the role of a university when you look at those speakers that might be unpalatable or might be highly controversial, that come and say things that maybe appall people? What's the role of the university to make decisions about who does come to speak on campus and who doesn't? How does that work?
If you look, you can go back a number of decades in the Supreme Court, and one of the wonderful things that came out of the Anna Whitney case, I think in the early 1920s, was the message that the way you react to unpopular ideas is not silence, but more ideas, more speech, not less speech. And I think that's where the university can do this. And we did this with the showing a year or two ago of the film about Muslim women. There was a concern about that in the beginning, so the showing was delayed in the small area where it was going to be, and it was shown later in a larger area as part of a discussion. And that's how we can do that. So if we have the Ku Klux Klan come to campus, not my favorite people, mm-hmm. we can have a discussion on the other side.
When do you get to say no to the Klan, though? That's a great example. So the Klan wants to come and say, this is the history of the Klan in South Dakota, and, we want new members. We want to come talk at USD. That obviously is going to cause a lot of people to say, wait a minute. So when can you say no to them and say, that does not represent who we are?
You can say no in a variety of ways, all prescribed by the Supreme Court over a number of decades. The time, place, and manner where they can speak or exactly what they can do. The fighting words doctrine, for instance, inciting to a breach of peace, a number of ways like that. Could we ban a cross burning? Of course we could, because we don't allow outdoor burning. So there are a number of ways to do that and still allow them to speak.
Right. So one of the things that you hear expressed a lot is this concern about, kids getting triggered or the snowflake generation. I'm not fond of either of those terminologies, but it's shorthand for what we're talking about, and that's adults who are concerned that young people are unwilling to hear those ideas that are damaged by hearing ideas that are different, and they get this idea of this ivory tower or, a protective place. Is there a reality to that at all? Is that just a total, balderdash, or is there something that needs to be addressed in the seeds of that concern?
You have seen that at universities, typically on the coasts so far, where trigger warnings are required in the syllabi or at the beginning of class, you might hear or see or read something that offends you, and if so, I'll let you know in advance and you can leave the room, that sort of thing. I tell my students right off the bat, particularly in media law and ethics, where we discuss a lot of these things, you are going to see and hear and read things that are going to offend you. Mm-hmm. Deal with it.
And what's their response?
Their response is, okay.
Let's go. Yeah. I would think, being a parent of a teenager, I would think that a lot of that response would be, all right, let's go, because there's important work lying, in that controversy. So, your thought would be legislation is not necessary
at this
point to fix something that's not broken.
That's correct.
And why do you think it's happening in Pierre right now? What do you think the opposite or, the proponents of the bill would say to that?
I think the proponents would say it is potentially an issue based off partly a Volant editorial that appeared, I think, last semester or last year that dealt with an old policy that the university had that did restrict things. And that came out partly from a national organization called FIRE, which reviews free speech issues around the country and gave the University of South Dakota a low mark based on that old policy, which is no longer in existence.
We've been talking about Senate Bill 198, headed to the Senate Education Committee. Chuck Baldwin, journalist in residence at the University of South Dakota. Our time is short today, but hopefully you'll come back and talk to us again about other issues that are popping up in class and beyond.
I'll be happy to. Wednesday morning, the House Education Committee debates a Freedom of the Press bill for high school students.